Order. Moving back to the agenda, the next item on our agenda this afternoon is 2024-08 Frog Farm.
This is a coastal area standard subdivision to divide 11.88 acres plus or minus into six single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Beans, Sussex County. The property is lying on the north and south sides of Holt's Landing Road, which is Sussex County Route 346, approximately 0.38 mile west of Irons Lane, which is Sussex County Route 348. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 7, parcel 127.00. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment, the applicant's 99-9C written response. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have received a copy of the applicant's proposed conditions of approval, and I would note that there are comments included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. The chair recognizes Mrs. Pete.
Thank you. Again, for the record, my name is Mackenzie Sindelar, and I'm an attorney on behalf of on behalf of the applicant with the law firm of Saul Ewing. And based on the last presentation, I guess I mispronounced Stokely. However, I am actually from Sussex County, believe it or not, and I feel like that needs to be said. I grew up in Rehoboth, and I'm from Sussex County, but yes, I do work out of a firm in Wilmington.
Well, so if you note, I said Stokely initially, and then... Then I was like, well, in Georgetown, we say Stokely, but then I was quickly corrected myself to Stockley. And then
I know.
I was corrected. Yeah, okay.
I know.
So we're good.
So I just felt like I needed to say something. So thanks for entertaining that. And I'll move on because this is not about me. So the applicant here is Mrs. Fleming. She's present. She owns the property in trust. And some of her children are also present today. Monica Scott, Elizabeth Williamson, Debbie Fleming, and also members of our project team, Rich Polk, PE, and Eric Jones, PE, with Vista Design, the civil engineering team for the project, and Mr. Linnae, who you know, Mr. Ed Linnae, professional wetland scientist of Environmental Resource Insights, are also present. I'll provide an overview of the project and address the subdivision and zoning considerations, and Mr. Linnae will discuss the environmental considerations, with Mr. Polk discussing stormwater considerations and also the provision for wastewater systems on site. I know there's sometimes questions about what type of system and this and that. He will address those. So in terms of the project, Mrs. Fleming seeks the approval of a six-lot standard subdivision in the AR1 district and coastal area, a designated growth area, which also happens to be in level four, which is a obviously, again, attracts public attention, but it's not a land use plan. And of course, here we're looking at six lots, low density in nature. The proposed subdivision is located on the west side of Holt's Landing, which is Sussex County Road 346, north of the intersection of Vines Creek Road, Route 26 in Sussex County, and it consists currently of tax parcel number 134-7-135, which is approximately 11.88 acres. It's also located near properties that are used agriculturally, residentially, including Gander Woods and Blackwater Cove, as well as Blackwater Creek that actually runs along the property. By way of background, the property's existing use is agricultural, and the Fleming family has owned this property and some of the surrounding parcels for decades, with Mr. and Mrs. Fleming raising their nine children while also nurturing this property as a homestead farm. It's really a really nice story on what they're doing here. Following Mr. Fleming's passing in early 2024, the family decided to pursue this subdivision as a means for several of their children to return home and establish their own residences, futures, and families close to Mrs. Fleming, who resides at the existing home in the front of the property on parcel 125.01. The vision for this development is to honor the site's rich agricultural history by creating a community characterized by larger lots that reflect the spacious and open feel of a farmstead that's existed historically. The Flemings aim to preserve the property's agricultural feel, reducing impervious coverage and maintaining the natural landscape of the property along Blackwater Creek. This design thoughtfully blends the property's historical use with the future, fostering a sense of connection to the land while providing housing for several of, intended housing for several of the Fleming family children. As to the plan on the screen, again, this is a preliminary plan review only and subject to the approval. The plan will go through final site plan review and approval and secure its necessary agency approvals. In terms of access, the entrance here is off Holt's Landing. There's an existing lane. It's called Frog Farm Lane, which is a private drive. It's very well established. It's graveled. It's within a 50-foot perpetual easement of access, which was established back in 1982 and of record in an easement that was of record at Deed Book 135, page 6. I do have a copy of that. That did not make its way into the record, and it should be in the record. I'm going to submit that now. So the lane provides for also, in addition to serving the existing uses and then proposed lots, it also provides vehicular and farm equipment access for the parcels to the rear, parcel 124 and 124.02, 124.03, and 124.04. So the future owners of each lot will be obligated under that existing agreement to share in the maintenance and repair of that road per the underlying easement agreement, and we did specify that in a proposed condition that we submitted into the record. In terms of open space, 46% of the site will remain as open space in excess of the code's requirements. In terms of traffic, per DLDOT service level evaluation, it was confirmed that the traffic impact here is negligible. In terms of utilities, the property is located within county's Tier 2 planning sewer district, but those services have not been extended to the site, and on-site well and septic are proposed here. If there are any questions, as I said, about the plans for the on-site wastewater disposal systems, Mr. Polk will field those questions. At this time, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Mr. Lene, who's going to discuss the environmental considerations, and then Mr. Polk will follow him to discuss stormwater as well as the septic.
We know him as Dr. Lene, yes. Thanks to Mr. Wheatley.
I'm Edward Lene. I'm an environmental consultant and professional wetland scientist certified by the Society of Wetland Scientists, and about 45 years of professional experience. The drawing up there is that shows the wetlands and the different colors on there represent the different things that are happening with respect to the establishment of the resource buffer areas associated with those wetlands. And kind of put the site in context, the areas where their lots are going to be, and to some degree, even where the colored buffer areas are, you know, probably the uplands range between about elevation 4 up to elevation 13. And so where all the development is going to occur is essentially, hasn't probably been farmed in quite some time. It's more like a pasture. And the soils out there are extremely sandy and extremely permeable. And so as far as any kind of ditches or those types of things conveying water, it's not necessary because, the soils are upland soils and very permeable and very amenable to the slight amount of runoff that will be generated by putting some homes out here can all be handled by just standard infiltration practices. There won't be any ponds or really conveying of water back and forth through the site just because of the excellent conditions that exist. And on the south side of the site, as you could see where those color areas are, this property is about 600 feet east of Blackwater Creek, which is a tidal water body. And there's basically a gut that comes in to this site, kind of in the middle of where that colored area is. And the wetlands that border this site are also shared wetlands on the adjacent properties That would be to the south. Okay, continue. So in large measure, most of that wetland, except for this little section right here, is state-regulated tidal wetlands. So we have a kind of, if you follow from the west side or the left-hand side of the plan and basically go to the east, the wetlands change in character. So when you're all the way to the west side, it's state-regulated tidal wetlands, which is like salt marsh type of a grasses. And there's a narrow little channel within that wetland. And then essentially there becomes kind of a Phragmites type of an area, which is still kind of an emergent wetland that is also state-regulated wetlands and also and regulated wetlands by the Corps. And then as you move inland to the area where I pointed out, it becomes a non-tidal wetland. And then basically, in terms of the way this site, the natural drainage from this site, whatever runoff there is, runs directly north into the, you know, through a fringe of uplands that borders the tidal marsh into the tidally flowed wetlands. And then basically at the head of where that colored area is, that's essentially a 40 to 100 foot wide, I'll characterize it as a swale-like area that's a non-tidal wetland through which is a flow path. And the other thing that I would point out here too is that as far as, you know, floodplain elevations, the 100-year floodplain elevation is within the areas that are pretty much delineated as wetlands out there, that the rest of the site where the homes are going to be built is all above the 100-year floodplain. And the other thing I would point out, even in the buffer averaging plan, to characterize the woods as you get up into that non-tidal wetland area, there's some forests there and some upland forests that borders that. And there's around the field portion of the site, which again is the balance of the site, there's a fringe of forest that borders these tidal wetlands that we've been discussing. All the forest on the site is going to be preserved within the proposed resource buffers. So in the case of this site, all those different colors, I don't want to go into too much detail, represent the different zones A and B and the different zones based on the tidal wetland boundary and the non-tidal wetland boundary. So for the balance of this site, most of the non-tidal wetland buffers fall within the larger 100-foot buffer from state tidal wetlands, except for that very little area that I pointed out earlier. And so there's one little area, there's a couple little areas where we're doing some buffer averaging, which is in the Zone B buffer, and only involves, again, these open field areas. So the two areas we would be doing averaging are here and here, and these two areas would be made up here. And again, all that is within areas. And so that buffer averaging is about 9,700 square feet, and we are directly replacing that. When you look at the buffer requirement without averaging, 2.06 acres is required, and we are providing 2.06 acres. As required under the code, there's going to be a signage every 100 feet to identify the boundary of the resource buffer. The other thing here that wasn't really discussed a whole lot in the resource buffer management plan, but we've since implemented, is that there are some 5 open space parcels on the site, and they're labeled A through D on the site plan. And the larger open space parcel includes the wetlands, the resource buffers, and basically it's this whole area down here. What's being proposed as an additional measure of buffer protection is that all the outlot areas, which are, you know, and again, in a relatively natural condition, are going to be preserved and protected on the deck under a declaration of restrictions. And so there are some limited things, just as in the buffer ordinance, where there's, you know, if need be, when and if in a final design, if we need to have a biofiltration basin in the back of one of the lots to infiltrate some stormwater, there's a provision to allow that type of thing under the declaration of restrictions that are setting up these conservation areas. But essentially, the conservation areas will be left alone and in their natural state. And so if you look at the total areas A through D of the outlots that are going to be protected under this declaration of restrictions, it's 5.33 acres of the site. I think that's about all I have to say, unless anyone has questions for me.
One question, and it may be in the exhibit book, but because of the IT issues, didn't get a chance to look at it. Who's going to own the outlots or the open spaces? You know, it's not like a bigger subdivision where there's an HO, or maybe. Okay, all right.
He's going to.
Yeah, all right. Just so we kind of know.
Anything? Yeah. All right, thank you.
While we're on the point, before I turn it over to Rich, we have proposed a set of deed restrictions, a declaration of restrictions that was drafted, and then I did some work to it too, as an alternative to establishing an HOA. With this, it's family owned. The HOA, it just works better as a set of deed restrictions, honestly. Like, honestly, if the HOA got formed, I don't know if it's going to be maintained, kept valid, et cetera, et cetera. That's why, you know, we run title all the time. We're like, oh, we have another organization that's no longer valid. It just creates a headache, at least, again, in my opinion. So we're proposing a set of restrictions. To Mr. Linnae's point, these are addressing how the conservation areas are going to be used, maintained, what uses are prohibited, what uses are not. And as part of final plan, we'll work with you and planning staff to get these in final form.
Yeah, my point was that
that we need
an HOA. Yeah, because that seems, like you said, sort of overkill.
Excessive.
For the situation.
Yeah.
If it was just going to remain in Ms. Fleming's name, or how it was going
to. Yeah, and to directly answer your question, it's going to remain, yeah, in
okay.
your name. Mm-hmm. And I'll hand this in.
Thanks.
All right, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Polk.
Good. Good afternoon, Mr. Polk.
Good afternoon. As indicated, my name is Rich Polk. I'm an engineer with Vista Design, and since everybody else is telling how long they've been practicing, I guess I've been practicing in one
doing the lawyer thing now.
Or another for, man, 27, 28 years.
I knew you had to be involved with this when I saw that sign. Very familiar with that sign, those signs.
So,
I like them.
Mackenzie's asked me to speak to several things, the first being the design of the on-site wastewater treatment facilities. The property is located within, I think it's a tier 2 sewer district. However, there is no intentions to bring sewer to this area anytime in the near future. So the property is intended to be served by on-site well and septic. And when we first got involved with this back in 2021, the Flemings had already engaged the services of Leif Erickson of Atlantic Resource Management. He was out digging holes, seeing what's going on with the soils, and was starting to put together his kind of full study. At the time, the Flemings were looking to get 9 lots on the property. Obviously, they have 9 kids. They were looking for 9 lots. When we got involved, we started looking at how, within the code, we could get 9 lots. Long story short, we couldn't get it both zoning-wise, and we can't get it by soils. So we fell back to a 6-lot subdivision. And working with Mr. Leif Erickson, we basically had him pull together his study, where he assigned areas that were suitable for either a standard septic, There are areas on this property where you can do standard septics, or LPP systems, which are very similar to standard septics, but they just have a low-pressure pump that pushes and kind of doses the area, or a sand mound, what's known as a CFG-type system, or areas that were just unsuitable for anything. So we were given a series of lines across this site to kind of work the subdivision into that. What's reflected on the plan now is that working in, but we also took it to the next step, working with Mike Cotton of Cotton Engineering, who designs septic systems. He's a licensed designer, to make sure that every lot that we are proposing could handle a four-bedroom home. So the LPP systems that you see on here, let me back up a little bit. In working with Mike Cotton, what we ended up with was five of the lots are to be served by LPP with one, I think it's the lot, I think it's lot six, furthest up has to be a sand mound. There are areas of excellent soils on the property. However, they just happen to be on the north side of Frog Farm Lane. And those were, working with the Flemings, they decided that that's an area of existing woods and it's best just to preserve those as opposed to carving off what would be a non-traditional lot. So I can assure you that the systems that you see on the plan right now have been designed. They are the actual size to support a four-bedroom, and you'll also see that the wells are also shown on the property in a way that satisfies all state setbacks and all state regulations. So it's kind of taking it above and beyond, but the Flemings wanted to make sure that whatever we proposed could work. Another thing that I'd like to talk about is stormwater management on the property. As Mr. Lanay indicated, the property is right now pasture or woods and environmentally sensitive areas. The woods and environmentally sensitive areas we are preserving. The pasture is being converted into these six lots. And the conversion, the extension basically of that road, the gravel road, which is what we're asking for, in order to satisfy the stormwater requirements of that road building and the home building, we can satisfy that by roadside swales. And basically, we're also providing another possible bioretention area down behind lots 3 through 5 to take the drainage from those and treat it before it goes into the environmentally sensitive areas. That is above and beyond what would be required traditionally by the conservation district, and it's something that the family feels important to put in as an extra layer to protect the environmentally sensitive areas. Any questions?
I don't think so. Does anybody have any questions? I don't.
I have a question, but it may not be yours to answer. You may have mentioned between open space B and A, is that meant to be a turnaround location for emergency vehicles?
No, what that is actually an interparcel connector.
Okay.
To the property to the north.
Okay, expected connectivity or connectivity that will be used now?
Not future possible future connectivity. There's no intention to take the road to that point at this point. You'll see it on the plan. There are grades that are tying down. It is merely to provide a future interparcel connector if the Planning Commission or the County Council wishes, if that other future development were to be developed in the future.
Okay. I didn't drive this far down, but is there a place for emergency vehicles to turn around on Frog Farm?
They're
further down.
Basically, they can go right now. They can turn. We can put a turnaround, I think.
That may actually be a place where you could make it work.
Maybe the fire marshal has already looked at this.
Possible.
I didn't
know. No, I'm sorry. There is an actual turnaround. There's a gravel turnaround at that point to allow a three-point turn to back up.
Thank you. I did.
Sorry.
But not with the fire truck.
But no, there is there. There's a gravel area shown on the plan for that.
I don't think I have any other questions.
All right.
Thank you.
Does that conclude? Thank you.
Thank you.
And then finally, I just want to confirm, again, the plan complies with the AR1 and zoning district requirements as well as the comprehensive plan requirements. Vista's team set forth a very detailed booklet. It's actually been in the record much longer than 10 days. It was submitted initially with the plan. I hope you had an opportunity to review it. The subdivision requirements are also specifically set forth there. I will save the time of walking through each of the points, but just to confirm, we're subject to the prior ordinance of 99-9. And so those were the responses that were specifically provided. They are detailed in the booklet. I've made all of the other points. So has Mr. Lene and Mr. Polk. I did just want to point your attention to the review of the conditions. They are fairly standard, limiting the lots, and they were submitted with the booklet as well, just limiting the lots to 6 lots. I've touched on the deed of easement maintenance piece for shared easement, or for shared maintenance, excuse me, among the property owners, not only with these 6 lots, but the other property owners that are also subject to that easement. There's approximately 5.53 acres of open space. The recorded deed restrictions obviously have been submitted, and they address maintenance of buffers, stormwater management facilities, and the conservation areas. Won't be sure to include the standard ag protection notice language, which is applicable here. We've, of course, addressed the buffer requirement, the resource buffer requirements, stormwater management requirements, et cetera. With that, I'll just conclude. So in conclusion, the Frog Farm subdivision plan seeks to blend the Fleming family's agricultural heritage with modern residential needs, consisting of 6 lots on 11.88 acres that comply with the zoning and subdivision regulations for low-density single-family detached homes on individual lots in the AR1 district. The plan preserves 46% of the site as open space and incorporates beneficial wetland buffers and effective stormwater management practices to minimize environmental impact. Notably, the project has garnered support also from nearby neighbors. You'll see there's letters of support from them. It really reflects the thoughtful design that integrates into their surrounding community. Using Frog Farm Lane for access and featuring landscape buffers and resource buffers, this project aims to enhance the family's living arrangements and create really a local neighborhood for their family. The Flemings respectfully request your approval, and we can answer any questions that you may have if there are any. Thank you.
All right, we thank you, Ms. Singler.
Thanks.
All right, we'll see if anyone has any questions on the commission, and we'll start with Mr. Collins.
No questions from me, Mrs. Sindelar. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
no questions.
Okay.
No questions.
None at this time.
Okay. Council?
I have one, and it's left field, I'll admit.
Okay.
As long as I've been doing this in the code, there's been permitted uses for frog farms, and I've never actually heard of anybody doing a frog farm. So I'm dying to know if there was a frog farm on this property at some point.
Now you sound like Mr. Hutt.
Okay. There you go. And also, just for the record, that's Mrs. Fleming. Right. I also realized one additional point, and it's already in the record, and I may have mentioned it, but there are a waiver request here, too, for street design and sidewalk. Of course, that's not consistent with what they're wanting to do here. They want to keep everything as much as possible in the natural state, which I know we've done with other projects like this before.
Yeah, that letter's in the record.
It is. And Mr. Polk's letter speaks for itself. But
okay. Mr. Whitehouse?
A question, if I may. No, not critical, but okay. Something... Very interested. Mr. Lene's proposed sign for the wetland buffer.
Uh-huh.
I love the graphic. I love the text. It's exactly what we want to mark the buffers. My question is the applicant like fixed on the coloring? Like what my suggestion would be is rather than have a very stark white sign with green text, invert it so that the sign is green
with
or
white.
Something no neutral with white text, so it's not so stark in the landscape. So.
Hearing no objections, I believe. That's fine.
I think that's Mr. Polk's design because I have that in my community and he was the engineer of record.
it's a holdover from the state of Maryland signs that we've modified and had it printed over. Also inverted.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
good point, Mr. Whitehouse. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Is that it? Yes. Any other questions?
I think that's it for us. I would just like to make a comment that is a beautiful piece of property. I never
it really
realized.
Is,
yeah, to ride back there, and it really is. So for the 6 that Lucky six.
It's great. Yeah, it's just a great piece of property.
It's approved, yeah. Okay, if you'd like to have a seat, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of application 2024-08 Frog Farm? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Okay, there being none, does anyone else have any other questions before we close the record? Okay, there being none, I will close the public hearing today. We're going to leave the record open for written comment until April the 22nd, 2026, close of business day. Okay,